Yeah, come live the life at 6:57 a.m. And maybe you're going down to the place with the beautiful tubes, the fresh air, the beaches.
The volleyball.
The volleyball, friendly people. Oh, man, it's a beautiful, beautiful. I'm talking about Jeffreys Bay. Janine is going to chat to Grant Hanley down in Jeffreys Bay about Encounters Weekend. Janine, over to you.
Grant Hanley, good morning. Yes. How are you doing?
Good morning, Janine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Thank you very much. Listen, did you grow up in the Eastern Cape or are you a new native there?
I'm actually originally from East London, but we've moved to Jeffreys Bay for the last 2 years now.
Oh, so you just couldn't stay away from the sea, huh? You were the one sea and then you go to the next ocean and the next, I mean, you just keep to the sidelines there.
I'm an Eastern Cape boy.
Yeah,
I
see
that. I spent a number of years in Asia at the same time.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to talk about that. That's very interesting.
Very far from the sea at the same time, yeah.
Okay, well, the reason why we're speaking this morning is Gateway News had a new, I think about 3 weeks ago, that they had an article about Holy Spirit encounters in Jeffreys Bay. Now, when I was at school, I was in Fierce Feared. We used to have those camps there at Jeffreys Bay. I've got this association between the volleyball and the surfers with Fierce Fear camps that you always have there. So it was, immediately you open it up, it's like going back home to seeing what's happening down there. But and then I saw that you were the visionary of those weekends that they held down there. And I thought, let's get to know this man. Introduce yourself. If you had to tell South Africa, this is who Grant Hanley is. Put yourself in a, you know, little frame for us. Who would you be?
Okay. Thank you, Janine. Yeah, I would describe myself as somebody who loves Jesus, who grew up as an orphan in a sense, but has come to be a son of the living God, who has an intimate relationship with Father. Yeah, that's probably like the main core of who I am. But I also love being a father myself. I've got 5 kids, and they're my hobby, my passion, who I love to be with most of the time, including my wife as well. So you could say I'm a family man as well. And I'm also South African. I'm very proudly South African. I love playing rugby. I love exercising. And I'm very proud that God placed me in this nation to be part of the solution, part of blessing this country.
That sounds very interesting. Yeah. Hey, if you want to see what the man looks like, go to Facebook. That's Radio Pulpit/Radio Council. He's there on Zoom so that we can speak to the man visually as well. But Grant, you were saying and mentioning earlier that you had a whole interesting journey through Asia as well. You stayed there for quite some time. How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, when I became a Christian, I was about 18 years old. And I started going along to these meetings where missionaries would just speak about the exciting mission field and all that. And I always thought being a Christian was a bit of a boring thing. But when I heard these people speak about their adventures in these nations and that being a missionary is really quite an exciting thing, I think it woke up this aspect that God put inside of me, which is the sense of adventure and this love for people. And also realizing that Jesus really did speak very clearly and give us a command that I believe isn't a suggestion, but it really, he says that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and that you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Mm. And that thing of being a witness, I really did encounter God in a very powerful way, so that my life prior to knowing Jesus was very different to afterwards. It was like a face-to-face encounter with him. And I felt like, even though I was in the business world for many years, I felt like God was putting it on my heart that I should really take this encounter, this having witnessed Jesus, having experienced him, take it to places where it isn't. So it really is a joy for me to have worked in Asia for 10 years, particularly amongst people groups that have never heard about Jesus at all. For me, it's a great joy to go up to people and speak to them about Jesus and say, wow, you're the first person that has even spoken to me about Jesus before. Some people have even said, who is this person, Jesus? I've never heard of that name before. That's just how God put something inside of me where I want to live amongst those nations where they're completely unreached.
Okay, but that does leave me curious now, because how do you even speak to someone if they've never, ever heard of Jesus?
Yes.
And you tell them, I'm talking about God here. I'm talking about even the concept of him paying for sins, even the concept of sin, all of that would be totally foreign to them. So how do you get them to believe what you're actually saying?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I did find sometimes, I think when I first went over, I was really struggling with how do we actually convey this gospel message without all this jargon and cliches that we're so used to using, such as Jesus died for you and he's the Son of God, which we all know to be true. But when I say that to somebody who hasn't ever heard before, Jesus is the Son of God, then they would ask like, oh, so he has a father, and then what about his mother? And how was he born? How did that all happen? So when I got into that, I was like, God, please help me, because these are people that just have no background at all, no Christianity at all. But I think going through the book of Acts and through the New Testament is really Jesus has given us a model that we can use, you know, that people really need to encounter God. They need to be apprehended by something of his presence or God breaking into their lives where it gets their attention. And so it's not an intellectual thing where they're like trying to conceptualize or understand that there's a God and that Jesus came to die for their sins, but it's more an encounter with God. And out of that comes the explanation that who is this God that I've just encountered through healing, through signs and wonders, or even just through his love, through experiencing his love, you know?
I'm just thinking to myself that any kind of salvation is in any case a supernatural thing. It's a miracle to get saved in the first place, whether they've ever heard about him before or not. So you're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I was garnering when I was looking at this, the article, Holy Spirit Encounters in Jeffreys Bay, is that you can't go out and speak to anyone about Jesus, doesn't matter what their background, without the power of the Holy Spirit. It is such a useless thing to do then. It's only words. So you must have had encounters even before these weekends, seeing how the power of the Holy Spirit happens in real life when you're starting to communicate the gospel.
Yes, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's something that it's a journey. So sometimes we go out and evangelize and it can be difficult and it can feel like, wow, this is difficult going. But we really put our confidence in God's word, what he's promised us as his sons and daughters, and not in our experience, not like, okay, well, God doesn't show up in power anymore, because there have been times when we've gone out and it feels like, well, we've prayed for the sick and we've asked God for words that will open their hearts, but it hasn't been like that. But he does say that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me in order for the purpose of to be my witnesses. And so we do have many testimonies just of seeing God just as we step out in faith. We ask him, Lord, where do you want us to go to today? And he highlights a shopping mall. He highlights people that he wants us to speak to. He shows us their names, something that they're wearing, or some clue that would connect us up with them. And then we know, okay, this is the person God's highlighting. We would go to them and there would be a powerful encounter with them. So it's something, it's an outreach concept called treasure hunting, where we're looking for God's treasures in the world. But we're using the gifts of the Holy Spirit to unlock the people's hearts. They can not just have an interesting encounter, but they can have an encounter with God. And we're facilitating that happening.
Oh, that sounds very exciting. I was thinking when you're talking now about the Holy Spirit, we do have the perception sometimes when you mention Holy Spirit, especially in charismatic circles, that's the giggling, that's the gold dust, that's the, you know, the flashy stuff in charismatic Christianity. But when, at the moment in our reading plan here at Radio Pulpits, we're in Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and we Paul starts explaining what it takes. And he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, but he went through so much suffering by the hands of his own people that you realize, Holy Spirit or not, this is not necessarily, there's no easy, fluffy thing happening gospel-wise when just because the Holy Spirit is with you. So tell me about these encounter weekends of yours in Jeffreys Bay. What was the point behind it? What was the heart behind it? Tell us everything.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we just wanted to create a space where people can really encounter with God. So it's not so much a sensation or all those other flappy things you were talking about, which are great, but those aren't the things that the relationship is primarily about, because God invites us into relationship with Him. When Jesus was on the cross, it says that He yielded up His spirit. And the first thing that He did, He walked from that cross and He went to the temple and He tore that curtain in two. They say that that curtain was about half a ruler thick, but it was that zeal of Jesus. It's like, this is what I've come to do. I've come to tear that curtain open so that we can boldly, confidently enter into the Holy of Holies, you know? And so what Jesus is really, the purpose of the cross was to reconcile us back to the Father. And for us to have intimacy with Him, for us to know Him, and that means relationship. It means hearing His voice. It means feeling His love. And for us to create a space for that to happen, because the Holy Spirit enables that. He's enabling us to have an intimate relationship with the Father. Mm. So the Holy Spirit's drawing our attention to the Father, and not necessarily to Himself or to what's happening in the room with healing or whatever else, you know? So that's our heart. We just create a space where the Holy Spirit can really draw us into a place of encountering God. And we try not to put boundaries around Him, because He is God after all. And if He wants to do something which is out of our concept, then that's okay. We'll let Him lead us. And it's okay, because He can also clean up messes, you know?
No, that's the truth. But tell me now, practically, what does an evening like that look like, or a weekend like that look like? What do you actually do?
Yes. So we actually take time to really worship, and also to create a so just worship time together is very important, because that really, we come into His presence with thanksgiving and praise. But we also don't want to get into kind of like a regimented program where we're going to sing the song and then go on to that and so on. We really just have like a bit of a loose agenda, but we just say, okay, Holy Spirit, we've prepared ourselves, but what do you want to do? And who are you highlighting? Because we're the priesthood of believers. So we just create a space really after worshiping for a couple of songs where the Holy Spirit can begin to highlight and touch people. So we often have people come into the front with words of knowledge or prophetic words that will unlock that evening, and then we just really flow with Him. So often we'll have some type of maybe an activation where we get people to just kind of connect with each other through praying for the sick or words of knowledge, and then we'll also lead into other things like actually people come into the front in response to words of knowledge for healing or for various issues or whatever else. And we also just create an atmosphere of freedom where people can also express their love to God in different ways. So, for example, we have dancing or flag worship or prophetic art and so on. So many different expressions, however people want to connect with God, they can, because He's so creative. And there are many different avenues for connecting with God.
So who were these people? Because, I mean, if people know one another, you start relaxing in such a way that you can be more creative or trust an invisible God better together, you know, where if it's a lot of people who don't know one another, maybe you're still a little cautious. So who were there? Who are these people?
Well, it's actually mainly organized by the Bethel Supernatural School of Ministry alumni. So people that have been to Bethel Church in Redding, California, or there's some schools in South Africa as well. So we generally try and host it, but I'd say that in Jeffreys Bay, there's a lot of amazing churches that are beginning to collaborate together. Another amazing missions group and church here is called Global Challenge. They do a lot of various campaigns and so on, but we meet in their school hall, and people just come together from various areas. Somehow people hear about it from this whole area. The last encounter meeting, we had over 100 people coming along. But it's not so much about the actual numbers. It's more that the testimonies just kept on coming in of transformed lives.
Mm.
People's lives really, really touched by God. And it wasn't that anybody preached a message or anything, but it was really the Holy Spirit eventually ministering to each person according to their need, according to what they were needing from Him, from God, you know?
Yeah. So if you're talking about testimonies like?
Yeah. There were some, the one man just shared a couple of days ago that he had been struggling with depression. And in the actual meeting, there was a word of knowledge that there was somebody with depression. Also, he had this one person called out depression, lower back pain, headaches, tooth pain. And this person had all of them.
Sure.
So he was very hesitant to actually respond, but he said, God, this is definitely me. He went to the front of the meeting and he just started crying and saying, God, you know, come and heal me. And he did. And we've just heard testimonies of him just with depression. It's lifted. There's been healing to his body. Various parts have been healed and so on. Yeah, but the main thing is that he's really on fire for God through that. Yeah.
Sure.
We also had a word for people that God wanted to break off a sense of feeling that they're not, that they have a bad a view of themselves, or that they feel that they're not beautiful. And a whole lot of people came to the front, and it was a very powerful time of God just healing that part of their lives, where giving them their God's perspective of who they are.
Mm. Yeah. Can I just say, right there at the beginning, when the Holy Spirit fell on those first people with the tongues of fire, it was specifically to empower them to get out there. Because if we get together and we've just got bless me parties and we've got nice fluffy feelings of goodness when we get together, but nothing changes in our life and we're not activated to go out there, then I think we still wasted our time. So is it something that you've experienced, that people now have the inclination, or, you know, that they need to go out and, having been empowered, having been ministered to themselves by the Holy Spirit, that they now have a heart for other people?
Definitely. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, I think if you encounter this amazing God who loves you so much, who just wants to, who's just so kind to you, and his heart is turned towards you, who holds your hand, who just blesses you, you know? This is good news, you know? This is this bubbling good news that it's like, I can't keep this to myself, you know? I see this brokenness around me. But God even changes that sense of selfishness, like it's all about me and my family and so on, because it's like, wow, God's blessed me so much. I got to share this. I got to take it out, because there's a broken world out there. There's kids that are growing up in broken families today. Their parents need to encounter this God that I've met. And so what we do is, every time we have an encounter night, it's followed up the following day by doing an outreach where we actually go into the city and just bless people. We ask the Holy Spirit to just lead us to people that He wants to bless. But it really is, we found with these things is that it comes out of intimacy with God, that you're then able to minister His love much more effectively. Than if you just went out without really a close intimacy with the Father. You know?
I really believe in what you're saying with regards to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in His presence, and then going out full of it, you know, makes a huge difference, because people need something supernatural. They need something that is more than just words. If you want to go minister, if you're talking about a broken world, we can't fix anything. They're too broken, and life is just so doesn't make sense. And I feel very helpless many times. But to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to cut right through to where it matters, that's when you can make that connection. So please, if you can speak to South Africa, you've got like a minute where you can speak to South Africa with whatever you've learned through all of this. If you can impart something that you think can help a normal pity like me to make a difference in this world, what would you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to say that somebody had a prophetic word for me many years ago, but it's like we're a bell in a sense, and the bell swings to the right and then it swings to the left again. And we're facing many challenges around us as a country and in our families and economically and so on. And we can look at those situations and try and, in a sense, like rush to try and fix them or even feel overwhelmed by the various challenges and so on. And even for myself, they're very real challenges that I'm facing and even as a family. But I really believe that as we swing, in a sense, swing into the Lord, swing into Him, then we will be able to swing out again, because it's a pendulum. We'll be able to naturally swing out into the world and have a positive influence with the situations that we're experiencing. God's designed us for intimacy. The greatest heartfelt desire that we have as human beings is to be loved by a father. And in Malachi, it says that He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the sons and daughters, and the sons and daughters back to the father. And really, that's the heartfelt desire that we are experiencing as South Africans, is that we would know the love of the Father. We would know His embrace. Mm. That is the most important thing. Everything else comes out of that relationship. The ability to love our spouses comes out of being loved ourselves, knowing the Father's love and acceptance. The ability to be an excellent father comes out of, I know my Father and how He treats me, so I can treat my children in that same way. And it's the same with the world around us. We see this brokenness, and there's a very humanistic, intellectual way we could respond. But when we meet with Father and we feel His heart for our land and our colleagues and the people around us, then we begin to feel His compassion, and we're willing to lay down our lives for them. We're willing to give up our very lives for the sake of other people, because Jesus did that. So I bless you with that today. I bless you with as you're driving or wherever you are, that you would know His presence. You would experience His presence, because Jesus came and He tore that curtain in two, that you can confidently enter into the Holy of Holies and know His presence. Just like Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not lead us up from here. Moses knew the presence of God, and that's our inheritance as sons and daughters.